Broadcasting Network.
Time and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those winning old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mine.
Welcome, folks. Thanks for joining us here on the Trump Phenomenon. I'm James Kelso, your host. We're on 6 days a week. On Sunday, today, we're on for two spectacular hours from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. This is our biggest show. And then we have a one-hour show Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. All these shows are live. I'm privileged to be able to host all of those shows and take all of your great calls at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. You can call anytime. The show is always live. There's some rare occasions when there might be a repeat show or a rerun. The RBN staff is incredibly dedicated and take very few days off, very few holidays at RBN, and that's for you. So you're hearing live radio here, and that's neat. You know, a lot of what you think is live radio or live TV, for example, isn't even live. It might have been recorded 2 hours earlier. That's very common. You know, you're watching some show and you're thinking, wow, this is neat. This is live. No, it's not. It was, those of you that have done TV, I was in a Johnny Carson. You thought Johnny Carson's live? No, it's not. It wasn't Johnny Carson. It was, what's his face, his replacement. It'll come to me in a second. I helped organize, actually, I was the organizer of a Ron Paul event on the, help me out, one of you callers calling, Jay Leno, there you go. The engineers are so much smarter than I am. Yeah, we did a Jay Leno show, and it was in the afternoon, there at the Burbank studio, NBC Burbank studio, and the, it's kind of semi-live in that they need an hour or two in which to edit the show, and then they put it up for you. So it's not actually happening live. And I'll give you a little anecdote from that appearance. Ron Paul was the guest, and what I did was organize the audience. I recruited a bunch of Ron Paul people to show up, and the tickets are free to the Jay Leno show. At least they were back then. This would have been 2000, it'd be late 2007 or early 2008. I think it was 2008, and in the 2008 presidential run. So I got a whole bunch of tickets by, I can confess this now, I think the statute of limitations may have expired on this, but what I did, if anybody from the Jay Leno staff is listening, I went through the free ticket line dozens of times. And I changed my shirt, I changed my hair, I put my glasses on, I took my glasses off, I changed my voice. And I'd go back up to the window, where I think there were two windows for free tickets. And then I called all as many Ron Paul people in L.A. as I could and said, hey, I've got a ticket to the Jay Leno show. Get down here. And that was the inducement that they needed. You know, wow, a ticket to the Jay Leno show. And so I got a whole bunch of people to show up, and we packed the there were only about, you know, it's been a few years, but only about 300 seats in the Jay Leno theater, which is like, you've seen shows like that. But it's about 300 of us are in there. And not all of us were Ron Paul people, but we had a big contingent that I got there. And we were yelling and screaming so loud. As I said, they taped the show. So Jay Leno comes out in his blue jeans before he puts his suit on. And he kind of introduces himself to the audience, kind of warms the audience up with a few jokes. Then he goes back behind the curtain, puts on his suit, and he comes back out. So anyway, we're at the beginning. We're filming. Cameras are out rolling, and then they go for a commercial break, and Leno comes back out. Remember, this is not live now, but it kind of is as almost as good as. So he comes back out, and he says, hey, look, you guys, you Ron Paul guys, hey, I love you. You're great. But you know what your problem is? You're too great. My engineer is telling me, my sound engineer is telling me that you are so darn loud that he's having to turn all the microphones way down, turn the gain way down, so that you guys don't sound as loud as you really are. So I'll tell you what, if you cut your volume in half, you're going to sound twice as loud as you sound on the air right now. So we did that, and that was great. That was a wonderful show. Anyway, what did that have to do with anything? I don't know. I don't know how I got there. Anyway, I'm James Kelso. I'm your host. I'm up here in North Dakota. The network that you support with your contributions is the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, and they are in Round Rock, Texas. So make sure that you have not forgotten to make your monthly contribution this month. And make it, I'm urging you to make it a monthly contribution. Listen to the Mike Rivero piece. I talked with John Stadtmiller about that. I said, who wrote that excellent promotional piece for RBN? And he said it was a collaborative effort by the staff, Mike Rivero certainly part of it, and it's very well written. It explains why you should be sending in some money to, or other valuables, to RBN to keep Patriot Radio breathing. You are the only source of energy that we have. And notice, you may have seen some stories on the news lately here. Donald Trump has gotten involved personally in this. He had a social media summit talking mainly about this, is that the left-wingers are trying to take away all the oxygen from us patriots, get us off of Twitter, get us off of Facebook, delete our posts, choke the access points. So Donald Trump said, I'm convinced they're choking my Twitter account. They're preventing people from adding me as a friend. They are preventing people from reading what I'm doing. And, of course, we know this is happening. This is true. So how does this connect to RBN? Well, the one channel that we have is the direct 440-volt connection between you personally, sitting right there where you are, and RBN. That's a 440-volt direct connection. And so far, the left hasn't figured out a way to cut that. And so you've got the telephone, you've got email, you've got the U.S. mail. So that's the way you can get energy, money, directly to RBN and thwart their efforts to prevent the growth of anything having to do, anything patriotic. All right, so let's launch into the show today. This is the Trump phenomenon, and so we're going to update ourselves as to what Donald Trump has been doing since we last met up on Friday. And I'm pulling up his Twitter account right now, the very thing that they're trying to choke off. And here it comes. being choked. So I don't know that it's being choked right now, but it sure is loading slowly. And probably in this case, loading slowly because my 7-year-old has probably opened 3 or 4 browsers and 200 or 300 tabs on this particular computer, which is not my show computer. I keep this one off in the corner so that the show computer, so my 7-year-old does not have access to that. But it's amazing how many tabs he can open up. Of course, you know the story there. In fact, let me do this real quickly. Just real quick, like a bunny here. I keep myself surrounded by computers, and that is a good idea when you're doing a radio show. And have plenty of computers at hand. All right, here we go. Let's do this right now. There we go. And so more than one way to skin a cat. And here we've just found another way. Geez, that would not be fun to skin a cat. Geez, I don't know who the hell came up with that saying. Why the heck would you skin a cat? Here he is, Donald Trump today. I don't believe the 4 congresswomen are capable of loving our country. Oh, I love that. Just, you know, talk about 440-volt connections. That 440, folks, is the one you see in warehouses and big manufacturing facilities. You don't want to get connected to 440. What's in your house is 110. Donald Trump is operating at 440 volts. I don't believe the 4 congresswomen are capable of loving our country. I love that. They should apologize to America and Israel for the horrible, hateful things they have said. They are destroying the Democrat Party. Now, that's a good thing. I inserted that. But our weak and insecure people who can never destroy our great nation. Boy, that is one heck of a tweet. That was worth the price of admission for me, that one tweet, which went to how many? It says he has 62.2 million followers. But folks, Donald Trump is saying he probably would have far more if Twitter weren't screwing with his account. And by the way, I love the directness of Donald Trump, which has not faded as his presidency has proceeded. So it was in his, was it in the speech he made there in Greenville, North Carolina? I didn't pull the highlights out of that speech. I should have done it because it was wonderful. He used verbs like that. He said they're screwing with us. And what that does, it's not the vulgarity that I like. It's the power that I like. He uses strong words and to express strong emotions. And that's smart. That's strong, that's powerful, and it's smart. Because if you use weak words, you don't properly express strong emotions. And let's see, are we patriots red in the face about everything? Are we amped up? Are we running at 440 volts? We sure are. So strong language appeals to us at this juncture, at this perilous moment in the history of our people. So we need strong language. And we don't need some overly proper Queensberry guy who doesn't know how to fight. That's not what we need as a leader. We need, you saw that, soldiers like strong leaders. You saw that movie, Patton, which apparently, I don't know how absolutely perfectly, according to Patton's life, that movie is. George C. Scott, I think, has a deep voice. Patton didn't have a deep voice. But I love that he used strong language, and he spoke very powerfully, and it led his troops. And, of course, you know, anybody in an army in a world war is in a perilous situation. And they need to know that their leader is tough and rough because it increases their chances of surviving. And in that vein, Patton gave that speech to his troops where he said, okay, somebody help me who remembers the line better, but it's, this must have surely happened. Patton surely must have said this to his troops, because why would you make up something like this in a movie, a biographical movie? He says your duty is not to die for your country. Your duty is to make the other poor bastard die for his country. and of course the troops must have gone wild when they heard that. Donald John Trump, a leader on the order in the George in the Patton category, not George C. Scott, Patton. Let's go down here some more of these fantastic tweets of the president's. He says, the Washington Post story, this is today, 8 hours ago, the Washington Post story about my speech in North Carolina, that's about the one about which we were just speaking in Greenville, North Carolina, and tweet with his phony sources who do not exist is fake news. The only thing people were talking about is the record-setting crowd and the tremendous enthusiasm, far greater than the Democrats. You'll see in 2020. And of course, what they're trying to do, I don't know which particular fake news item he's referring to there, probably the fake news item that he led the chant, send her back, which is a beautiful chant, wonderful. But he didn't have anything to do with that chant. That was us spontaneously. And we don't want to be censored by the Washington Post. We don't want somebody to tell us what we can and cannot say. But we're sick of political correctness, Washington Post. We're sick of you. We're sick of the fake news, and we're unsubscribing to you as fast as we can. And let's hope, folks, that this really reaches an economic crisis point for the fake news media, where they're going broke. You saw that story. It was about a month ago. 12,000 fake news media personnel will be fired, let go, in the next 12 months, according to a one of the most prestigious business sites that tracks media employment developments. They said 12,000 will go in the next year. That is all too beautiful. That must mean if 12,000 are being fired, that must mean that 11,990 of them are left wingers. And maybe 10 right wingers will get fired. But actually, on the other hand, I think a right wing organization, well, the Fox Corporation itself is not right-wing. The people that run it, the Murdochs, are not right-wing people. But for whatever miraculous reason, they have hired right-wing people and have created at least part of Fox is right-wing. They will be hiring people. I am sure of it. They're not going to be letting people go. Let me just check my caller board here. Let me go over that to that caller board and check it out. Let me get it up here. You can call it 800-313-9443. Lines are open. Operators are waiting to take your call and to take your contribution to RBN, by the way. All righty. Let's go back to our tweets. This is all today. Now, we were talking about Twitter censoring people. You saw that story today or yesterday, last night. Mary Ann Mendoza, who lost her son, a policeman, who was murdered, in effect, by a drunk illegal, killed her, I believe, policeman son. Donald Trump supports her in this tweet I'm about to read right after this break. Stay tuned. Praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathe their last, except John.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big
John. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. And what I love is someone bright enough to see.
We're back, folks. Thanks for tuning us in. That is what we love, somebody bright enough to see. And that's what you are in the Republic Broadcasting Network audience. And we just need to grow that number of people that have a chance to see, because without you can be bright enough to see, but if they keep the facts from you, it's all for naught. And that's what the game has been for our entire lifetimes, is that phenomenon that was sketched out in 1984 controlling, you can control the flow of information, you can control thinking. Garbage in, garbage out. You might be very bright, but all of us have been fooled to some extent. Maybe there are one or two of you out there who are never fooled for a moment by any of the garbage that's spewed out on you over your lifetime. But most of us have been fooled at some point, and most people have actually been fooled for their entire life. And so that's the job of Patriot Media, is to break through that, kind of like the plot of the novel 1984, where a little group of people are trying to expose Big Brother. And there are complications and twists to that, of course. But so Winston Smith gets snagged in basically a setup. And the novel is dystopian, unfortunately. The story is does not end well, but that's what we're hoping. We're changing now. That now we're hoping is that this story will end well, and that our Patriot effort will not come to naught. It will be successful. Big Brother will not succeed. The globalist empire will not succeed. The deep state will not succeed. All those different names for the same phenomenon that Donald Trump disrupted. All righty, let's go back to his tweets. Let me go look at my phone board here. I've got a new setup here in my studio, and so I'm just familiarizing myself a little bit with this new setup, and which I like better. I think I'm better positioned with the microphone here. I'm a little closer to the microphone. Somebody mentioned that in the show not too long ago. George in Texas, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know about Patriot Media, some Patriot Media, not saying all, but you don't want to know what, and it's like, if you look at InfoWars, they got an article saying why five reasons why Donald Trump will not win re-election. And this, and, you know, I am just getting sick and tired of him, people like him, you know, sitting there saying what the globalists are going to do to us. And I like what Donald Trump says. He says, you know, President Trump says, you know, what we're going to do to them. And I'm just getting sick and tired because you got a lot of Patriot journalists being unpaid PR people for the globalists.
Well, okay, that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh, George. I understand what you're saying. Everybody does. Let's see, what would be my take on that phenomenon? It's, you know, we've been down so long, and we've been at the losing end so long, and we've been betrayed so many times. I understand anybody in the Patriot cause who's skeptical. I really understand that. And that's a very rational response to getting burned over and over again. And it's a, you know, it's the way you brace, you know, when you're about to take a blow, you brace, you know, so, you know, you can sustain the blow. And if you don't brace, you know, like Houdini, Harry Houdini was killed by a guy who he had an open invitation. Anybody who wants to can punch me in the gut as hard as they want. It's not going to faze me. That was an open offer from Harry Houdini. And then one guy sucker punched him when he wasn't expecting it and killed him with a punch to the gut. So you got to brace. You got to be skeptical. You know, you got to be ready. So I understand that. And I view my job, you know, my particular task that I've set myself. I think Trump's the real deal. I think we can trust him. And so I'm trying to get people that are in a brace position, getting ready for the blow, to just, you know, exhale. Trump's not going to punch you. it's working out, George, because as the years go by here, and Trump does more and more good things, I think people, you know, you see it, it's happening. The Trump train is getting more and more packed with patriots. And kind of also importantly, the Republican Party itself, in general, is being overhauled and, reconstituted by Donald Trump. So the Republican Party that he inherited, what was the day he was sworn in? January, was it 20th, 2017?
Yeah.
That Republican Party, led by Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and John McCain and people like that, that party has changed a lot in the ensuing 2.5 years for the better. Go ahead, George.
I looked on YouTube, you know, when President Trump disavowed, he sent her back, and I really think he did the right thing, disavowing to send her back, because if he would have went along with it, the other side would have weaponized it against him,
yes,
against our movement. And the thing is, Elon Omar, even though
let me just echo your point. One of the things that's changed in these 2.5 years, Donald Trump, as smart and as adept as he was on January 20th, 2017, he's gotten a lot smarter, a lot more savvy in these 2.5 years. And what George just cited is an example of that. He had to quickly, actually instantaneously on the stage there in Greenville, he had to instantaneously have a reaction to the chant, send her back. Now, of course, you know, all patriots would like to send her back.
but here's the thing is, I wouldn't mind sending her back, but you know, the thing is, she's entitled to a day in court, even though the discovery of this or that, you know, marrying her brother and all that stuff, you know, that has to be vetted out in court. But here's the thing is, like I said, she has the right to due process before we send her back. And the thing is like I said, if she don't get kicked out of Congress, we owe Congressman James Traficant an apology. Because thrown out for a lot less.
For nothing. Oh, God, you're reminding me of Jim Traficant right now. My gosh, what a tragedy. The guy did absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever and actually went to prison and was basically killed in prison. He got out of prison, but, you know, a lot of these people are not the same. Their health is broken when they're in prison. And by the way, folks, just to remind you how dark our days were and why people would become skeptical. Jim Traficant, who was a hero for many of us, and he was a hero for the reason that he spoke plainly and powerfully. Remember those 2-minute rants that he had, 2-minute congressional speeches?
Beat me up.
Beat me up. Yeah, exactly. Those were beautiful. He was tough. Wow. And he used real. But boy, did they destroyed Jim Traficant. And just to refresh your memory a little bit, folks, and correct me, some of you out there have much better memories than I do, but roughly remembering what happened to him there in Ohio, he had a couple of people from his office who worked with him at his home. He was, I think, re-roofing his house or something. And a couple of the guys from the office helped him re-roofing his house. yes, that's it. That's it, folks. That's the big crime. And you got to say to yourself, well, Kelso, what's the rest of that's it? Jim Traficant and he was a working class guy. He was a blue collar hero. He's re-roofing his house. And a couple of guys are helping him. Yeah, they work in his office. What's wrong with that? Okay? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the crime he was charged with is that he's getting unpaid help, or he's getting favors. Oh, come on. Get off my back. That's just, you know, again, that's bullshit. And he wasn't given like a civil penalty or, you know, a traffic ticket or a warning or a, you know, suspended sentence, you know, of 2 days. No, he was put in the federal penitentiary and mistreated in the federal penitentiary for years. That's how bad it was. And all of you patriots out there that grew skeptical in circumstances like that, I understand you. All of you that said, you know what, I'm going to hunker down, I'm going to get in my bunker, you know, it's gone. It's over. Anybody who came to that conclusion watching Jim Traficant, very understandable. But now there's a new Jim Traficant, even tougher than Jim Traficant, talks even plainer, and he has pulled it off. And it's, you know, it's easy to believe, you know, he can't be for real, but he is. But now, George, go ahead. I've talked too much.
Well, James Traficant, him and John Stadtmiller are almost coming to, you know, him having his own show years ago in RVM when he got released from prison. And number two, it's like when James Sharp, before he became a congressman, he was a county sheriff. And I can tell you one thing, he pissed off the IRS because he would not allow, you know, people's houses and bank accounts and assets to be seized without due process of law.
Yeah, he did a number of great things like that. And I'm trying to remember some of his great accomplishments. Some of you out there with good memories like George may remember. I think there's
also
one IRS law. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, too, when Israel said they have Ivan the Terrible, and from a concentration camp, and the guy was not even Ivan the Terrible, and James Krafficant went to bat for him and got him out of prison because Israel said
yes, that was
Ivan
very gutsy. He defended Demjanjuk, saved him. Actually, I think he was going to be sentenced to death, so he saved his life. That was very courageous. But there's another law that Krafficant was involved with, a law that stopped IRS seizures of people's property without due process. I think it was Jim Krafficant that did that. And correct me, folks, if I'm wrong, but he did some really amazing things. Anyway, here
and
we
he
are.
He was a Democrat.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the thing is, if he was still in Congress today, I think the squad of four, I think would have won after him more than Nancy Pelosi.
Well, yeah, exactly. Krafficant would have switched parties, and he would be alive today. That's right. But now your opening point, you mentioned that Trump did the right thing in his growth, folks. There are things that you and I can do. I can say right here, I'd like to send them all back. Absolutely. Yes. Send them back. And you mentioned, well, they have their right to due process and so on, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I'm going to, again, something a radio host can do that a president can't do and so on. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'm not disagreeing with you, George. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, no, the whole world does not have the right. Actually, they don't have any rights in America, the whole rest of the world. They don't have rights in America. They don't have a right to enter our country. They don't have a right to refugee status. They don't have a right to, humanitarian aid. They don't have a right to anything in America.
South African farmers have more of a right to refugee status in this country than...
Of course, but the point I want to make about rights are for Americans. And by the way, people who became Americans by fraud or by force or by criminality, no, they're not Americans. No way. And this any of these people that got into this country that lied about their status as they were entering, if this person Omar lied for her immigrant status, hey, canceled. That's canceled. You're gone. In fact, you mentioned Demjanjuk. There's an interesting precedent for that. There are many people who entered the United States and they did not exactly tell the truth about what they did during World War II. And that was used as grounds for they'd been American citizens for 20, 30, 40 years. Revoked. You lie on your immigrant papers, your citizenship is canceled. So, you know, no, you don't get an appeal to the Supreme Court. You don't get a squad of lawyers for you and so on. So, yeah, no, we've been, as Donald Trump has said, we've been the world's sucker forever. And, or not forever, for modern times, for the last 50 years. We've been the world's sucker ever since World War II, really. We've been the world's sucker. And he's here to change that. But he did the right thing when he said, no, that chant, send her back, that's not my chant. That was the right thing to do. He wasn't bailing out on the patriots that were properly and beautifully saying send her back. He was being the president. And you're right, George. They would have landed on him like a ton of bricks. He would have incurred a lot of political damage that we don't want him to incur needlessly. So there are you wear different hats. If you're the president, you wear one hat. If you're a patriot at a rally, that's a different hat. I'm not president of the United States. I can behave differently on this show. I can say bullshit a few times more than the president can. but I don't know, maybe not that many. He uses the term quite freely. Go ahead, George.
Like I said, he said these people, if they don't like it here, they can voluntarily go back to the S-holes they came from. And, you know, it's like he wasn't arbitrarily, you know, throwing them out. He was saying, hey, if you don't like it here, there's the door. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and I
exactly.
I really think he spoke what a lot of us were saying were on our mind for years. Because you know how many people, immigrants that came here that sort of trashed this country? And I always said, you know, go back to where you came from if you don't like it here. I mean,
absolutely. And when you say a lot of us think that way, actually, as it was in Johnny Cash's time when he went to watch those Gene Autry movies, and he went to watch Gene Autry singing in the Bells of Capistrano, okay, in 1942, and Gene Autry sang that song. He said, actually, I've forgotten the words there. We played them, I think, Friday, which is, he said, love it or leave it, basically. You know, if you don't like it, get the hell out of here. Gene Autry sang that song in 1942, and it's not some of us that believe that, George. Actually, that's the definition of a patriot. If you don't believe that, you ain't a patriot. So all of us believe that. And just as, you know, Johnny Cash said, you know, back, you know, son, when I was about your size, all of us went down to the theater on Saturday night if I could find a dime, and if my daddy said it was all right, because we were all Americans. We all shared the same patriotic views. America was a beautiful, united, one people that thought as one. It was wonderful. So this recent business of diversity and everybody gets to go to the Supreme Court and some, you know, felon gang banger member from Central America has a right to an appeal and another appeal and a, you know, oh come, and a free attorney, get off my back. No, they don't. They have a right to a swift kick in the pants and you know, let them out on the other side of the Rio Grande. Go ahead,
you know, the thing is, you know, last Sunday, you know, all the local news outlets, you know, because they're sitting there blaming, you know, the ICE raids on the impact of the local economy in the barrios. Because they said the streets were like ghost towns. People aren't going getting their tacos. And
boy, that sounds good. I didn't hear that. Boy,
oh, yeah.
This is,
and, you know, and it's like... They had the immigrant activists out saying, and you know, they're saying, ask out these flyers saying, know your rights. No, as an illegal.
I like this. You know what the image you're giving me, George? Remember that movie High Noon?
Yeah.
You're giving me the image, like, you know, the busy, bustling street, all of a sudden it's empty and very quiet.
Well, basically, the thing is, it's more like the local news outlets were making us people want them out of here. Like the bad guys.
Or another, there's another movie, that theme is, of course, throughout a lot of heroic, you know, good movies. There's that movie, High Plains Drifter, where, you know, everybody's out in the street, then all of a sudden when the bad guys and the good guy shows up, it's real quiet, the streets are empty. I like that. If that's what's happening in these illegal...
This was in Houston.
Yeah, these illegal communities. Yeah, I think that's really good. If the local economy, if the taco stand is going bust because nobody's buying tacos, that's fine with me.
But and you know, the thing is, this is what I go back to, and people may not like this, but you know, we speak English here. I do not want Spanish-speaking radio and TV stations because they can aid and abet in illegal activity and commit sedition.
Oh, yeah.
And
basically a watchword of this show for me of my life is demography is destiny. And so it's not even a question. Not only do I not want them to speak Spanish or for a Univision or in Telemundo to own huge chunks of broadcasting in the United States, I don't want them to speak English either. I would rather, if they're going to speak a language, if they're in our country, I'd rather that they eat the tacos, speak the Spanish, wear the sombrero, you know, whatever they want to do. Walk around town in a cowboy suit, whatever they want to do, or a wrestling, those wrestling masks they wear. Because I basically, they don't, well, they're going to behave like any people do, as we do. Any people is a people. It's a biological entity. It's Mother Nature. You want to survive. The primary command of nature is survive, live. And so any people tries to live. They try to survive. So if they get on your territory, wolves do this, eagles do it, you know, dolphins do it, crabs do it. If they get on your territory, they want that territory. They want the resources of that territory. And anybody who's a biologist can tell you that, Mother Nature is not kumbaya. A game preserve or a biologist observing populations in an ecosystem, they don't get along with each other. Different varieties of foxes don't get along with each other. They bite each other. They eat each other. They fight each other. They kill the other group's young. You know,
it's like cats don't get along with each other because my cat does not like other cats on my yard.
Well, this is a speciation thing, which is that you know, your cats are the same species. But the point is, it's a basic biological law that different biological groups, that they want to live, they want to survive, they want to outnumber you, they want to take the territory. That's a law of nature. It's not going to be repealed. When water starts flowing uphill, all right, I'll listen at that point to somebody who's saying that biological groups will not compete for in a matter of life or death. They will not compete. They will just get along with each other and love one another and not compete with each other. Yeah, but they won't do that. It's not going to happen. Water's not going to run uphill. So we have to have our own space. We do have to have an ethno state. We have to have a land that is our land, where we live, and our, as it says in the founding documents of America, that we want to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, you and me, George, yes, but more importantly, and to our, that's the operative word, our posterity, not to, it doesn't say, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and their posterity.
No. You know, there's another thing.
Carefully. Go ahead.
You know, the thing is, they always say, like, Texas and the Southwest was stolen from them. And I hate to have to say, Texas kicked the Mexicans out. They try to come back in under the Black Swan that's in San Antonio. And you got the guests and purchase, and you got the Treaty of Guadalupe of Hidalgo, or I don't know, but...
You got that right.
Those treaties. And you know where the Mexican, where the United States government paid the Mexican government $10 million. This was after the war. And, you know, Mexico invaded and went all the way up to Oklahoma, and we pushed them all the way back to Mexico City. We could have took all
what
of
America,
Mexico.
Yeah, George, what America was doing when James Knox Polk was president is we were behaving rationally the way biological creatures do. We wanted territory for our people, and we went out and fought for it and got it and secured it. And that's what Guadalupe Hidalgo and the Southwest Purchase and California and New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, that's exactly what that was. That's the normal way that people behave. Every square inch of earth, every square inch was fought for and secured by the people who are on it right now. Every square inch. There is not one square inch of planet Earth that ever was a kumbaya area where everybody loved everybody else and everybody shared and everybody was always polite and never offended anyone. There is not one. You show me one square mile of Earth that has had that history, and I'll just I'll sign my bank account over to you. You can't do it. It didn't happen. It never happened. Animals fight for space. And hang on, George. Once you acquire that space, you hang on to it. You make it great again. You keep it great. Your ancestors fought, died, bled, suffered, froze, were tortured, were scalped to secure the land that you're on, wherever you are out there listening to me, that you're on right now, that I'm on right now. Right here in the Dakotas, the Indians and the white settlers fought in something called the Dakota War during the American Civil War. There's another winner. But during the American Civil War, the Dakota Indians launched a surprise, vicious attack, scalping white people all up and down the Minnesota River. The result of that was the largest mass hanging in American history in Mankato, Minnesota, back, 1860-something. They rounded up those Indians that scalped those people in their cabins, and they hung them. Not many kids know about that, but that's the recent history of this part of the country that I was on. My ancestors were scalped and shot and burned in their cabins and by surprise attacking Indians. And yes, the settlers fought back, killed a bunch of Indians. We'll be back in just a moment, folks.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on Amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be.
I went through life, my ways were fast. And many times I played. I found my thoughts had washed
away. We're back, folks. Art is off the grid. He's waiting to get on line here. And I was saying goodbye to George. Hey, George, as always, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. We're going to go to Art in just a moment. You know, I mentioned that, you know, one of the things that Donald Trump came to dispel is kumbaya, political correctness. And I was just thinking to myself, as you know, during the brainstorm, where did that term come from? I've used it. I use it constantly. Kumbaya, to me, has a specific meaning. It means bullshit. It means garbage thinking designed only for white people. Hold hands and sing kumbaya. Now, there actually was a kumbaya song. I looked it up in a dictionary, and so on. I'm going to research it a little bit more. But do you remember Pete Seeger, the American communist? Let's listen here. I just got this. This is 1963, I think it is. Hang on here, and let's listen to Kumbaya. We're going to get to you, Art. Here we go. The engineer's messaging me. I don't know what we're going to get here. Let's just see here. It says Kumbaya, Pete Seeger.
I wonder how many of you know this one. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. This song is very interesting. It confounds all the folklorists. There was a missionary came back from Angola, West Africa, and he said, here's a song which is sung around the mission. And people asked him, where did it come from? He says, I don't know. A friend of mine, a Methodist preacher, was singing it in North Carolina. They said, oh, this isn't kumbaya. This isn't an African song. This is just old come by here, Lord, come by here. Come by here, Lordy, come by here, come by. Somehow I got changed when it went across the ocean a second time. And who's to say which is the right version now?
Well, that's Pete Seeger. And that's back in 1963. I was a junior in high school. And I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid, even at that age, at that time. But remember Pete Seeger? And I'm remembering, I think he was an American communist, Pete Seeger. We'll talk about him in just a bit here. Let's see here. We're going to come back for our second hour. We'll start with Art off the grid, if you're still there, Art. And hopefully no kumbaya. See you in a moment.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.